It's great to be back, and it's great to have yet another confirmation that I didn't choose a wildly off-topic topic, as been backed up by the choice of songs again, which is very good, because tonight it's my pleasure to speak to you all about suffering, which will be a joyous time together. And the reason for that is I was asked to do a project last term on identities of the church. And the one that I chose came from 1 Peter, and it's all about being a royal priesthood. And as I was doing that, I was thinking, this will be great for when I go to churches and they ask me to do something else, speak about being a royal priesthood. But the more in which I began to think about how I would address the topic to a church rather than just a leadership, I began to think there's an awful lot of background to fill in there, and that is that 1 Peter is written to a church in the midst of suffering. And I thought, none of it's going to sit right just kind of dropping that in there without looking at the background. So what I thought I'd do tonight is actually go back to the start of 1 Peter and to think through some of the themes that he teases out there in order to set up the rest of his book. Now, you've done it. That's good. Usually when I stand here and say, it'd be great to do a series on 1 Peter at some point, I then have a look round and see the poster just staring at me. So back in 2009, you did 1 Peter, so this will maybe jog some memory for you, or to think, you know what, it's about time we went back to 1 Peter. What a great book. And of course, the final affirmation I needed was when we sang Cornerstone there, and thinking that 1 Peter takes the image of a cornerstone of which we build our lives upon, or the traditional version. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. And so we're going to look at suffering this afternoon. I will get the time of day right at some point. I'll keep talking about morning, afternoon, evening. Just go with me. One of the things, once I decided on that, which kind of fills you with a little bit trepidation, is that if you are going through a season of difficulty or a season of suffering, let's name it, or a season where you're struggling with certain things, it's not always the most helpful thing for some guy to stand up and to tell you why, or for some guy to stand up and try to put some perspective on that. And so I always hesitate to approach the subject with that knowledge, but if you can bear with me, then hopefully, as we come to look at the hope that Peter has for the church that he's addressing it to, then you'll be able to see that maybe for yourself as well. Peter's speaking of a specific situation of suffering. He's talking to a church that is suffering because of their faith. So there's lots of reasons the Bible can give us for suffering. One is the world in which we live in is kind of rebelling and reacting against God, and that causes friction and causes us to go through seasons. Some are consequences for our own actions. You do something silly, stuff happens as a result. And one of the other ones is that as Christ's people or as Christ's body, we actually walk a path of suffering as well. So if that sounds a bit raw this afternoon, then my apologies. But I pray that we get a glimpse of that hope that's there that Peter brings out. The other thing we can do is sometimes we can when we think of suffering or the suffering church, our minds immediately go to the persecuted church. And in Riverside, we've got Colin, who used to work for Open Doors, and he's always bringing us news about the persecuted church in Northern Africa or in the Middle East and things. And you look at the sort of stuff that they're going through and the way in which their life is at threat, and you think, that's suffering. We don't know the half of it when we think about suffering. And that's absolutely true. We can think here in our more comfortable Western society that actually we don't really suffer all that much. And maybe by comparison, we don't. Another thing we can do is we can begin to see it everywhere. And so every time a politician stands up and talks about something, we're like, oh, you're persecuting Christians. Or legislation which is aimed, on the surface of it at least, to just kind of include everybody. And you're like, but you're undermining Christian values. And we look upon that as persecution or suffering. I would suggest that's more about assimilation than actually persecution.